Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Here we go. This is it. This is Top Flight Time Machine. I'm Andy Dawson, Papa Pow.
I'm Sam Nifty Delaney. So what?
Hello, Sam. It's our FA Cup final preview episode.
Whoa.
It's the FA Cup final. Sam, what do you think about that?
Couldn't give a flying fat, mate. I'd rather talk about
Arsenal, Chelsea.
I'd rather talk about, if we're going to talk about the FA Cup, I would much rather just talk about old FA Cup finals that I remember watching.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Safer ground, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah, because no one cares about the FA Cup. Do you know what time it's on? It's on like 5:30. 5:30 is like the most
shit
time.
Well, they've started doing that, haven't they? Yeah, they did that a few years ago. They moved it to 5:30. So you've got clubs that like Manchester City come down and play, and Manchester United, and then the fucking fans can't get home afterwards.
They can't get home.
Because the last train's at 8 o'clock or something.
If you're going to do that to them, do us all a favour and make it in the evening, right? Because 3 o'clock, fine, classic. Lunchtime, not classic, but I'll take it, right?
It's
before Saturday's got really going yet. A nice midday kickoff. Is the Saturday? Exactly, it's not really got going yet. You watch it, right? Evening, great, feels sexy, glamorous, Hollywood, doesn't it? Dusk, play it, we will meet you at dusk.
Yeah.
Right? That's great. 5:30, it's a fucking poxy time for anything.
Nothing's happening. I mean, just interrupts your tea,
You haven't quite finished your work yet. I mean, I know this is a Saturday, but do you know what I mean? It's just like, 5:30 is a cunt's time. I would say do it at 8. Because, you know, the Champions League sometimes, because of the way the Continentals are, they'll kick that off at fucking 9, right?
Yeah,
and I think,
of course.
I just feel like a sexier person just for sitting and watching it at 9 o'clock. The lights go down.
When me and my boy went to Barcelona a couple of years ago, to go and see Barcelona play, and that kicked off at 9 p.m.
Fucking mad. They're mad, aren't they? They're absolutely mad. Late. And then, then you finish it, you go, what about a drink after the game, though? And they go, hey, English, our parts, they don't even up until 1 a.m. You fucking peasant. Oh, well, I'd like to have a drink before that. I'll have to have some cans out by the square, the town square. Do what you want, you fucking English freaks. Right.
Just to quickly go back to something you just said there, you cited 5:30 p.m. as a cunt's time. If any of the listeners have got any other cunt's times they want to nominate, we'll decide the cuntiest time of the day.
Yeah, we could go through it. I would like to do the top 24 hours in order.
Yeah, tell us why. If there's anything cuntier than 5:30 p.m., tell us what it is. Tell us it. And tell us why.
Funnily enough,
and we'll get some free content out of it.
Funnily enough, if I was doing, obviously I've done it before. Countless times I've ordered the times of the day, written them down. I've been doing it since I was a kid. But what's weird is that a perennial in the Champions League positions for me is 6 p.m. Well, it's not always top, but it's often there or thereabouts competing. 6 p.m. is great. It's only half an hour after 5:30, which is a fucking perennial in the relegation places. So
yeah, world of difference, though, isn't it?
Just half an hour makes all the difference.
When you were a kid, did you used to buy Time Weekly magazine, and then in I think it was August, they used to give away the league ladders with all the 24 hours.
Yeah.
Can rank them and change the ranking according to what you thought.
Well, I was like a lot of kids. I was obsessed at that age with 3:30. Because it was when you get out of school, go home, watch kids' TV, right? And very often at the beginning of this children's BBC hour, like session, they'd start it off with the cartoon version
that
of Laurel and Hardy.
Welcome to this afternoon's children's BBC session.
Session. We got a right
Here we
good...
Go.
We got a fucking cracking session lined up, you. We're going to kick things off gently with the cartoon of Laurel and Hardy.
Right. Yeah.
Then later on, we'll fucking ramp things up, right? With Jossie's Giants, right?
Yeah.
And after that, you're going to be buzzing your nuts off. So we're going to bring you back down to earth with fucking boring cunts on Blue Peter, right? That'll fucking bring you back down to earth with a bump, right? As will News Round.
Yeah, Animal Magic, that'll be in as well. Johnny Morris doing the voices of animals.
That's the highlight. Fucking Animal Magic. Animal Magic, I think, is basically what... it was the Top Flight Time Machine of its day.
It was. I mean, I'm thinking now we should be getting some animal footage and just doing voices over
Yeah. Have you ever seen... one of the funniest of that on the internet is the Honey Badger stuff. Have you ever seen that? It's great, isn't it? The Honey Badger stuff. But, yeah, I mean, yeah, Johnny Morris was very much... Johnny Morris should have... If podcasts had been around in his day, he'd have been fucking rinsing it. He'd be way ahead of us. All of our ideas coming from him. He would have done it... He would have done it with... Oh, you know, I was about to say Mr. Bennett, but that's fucking Tony Hart.
That's Tick Hart.
Yeah. Think of a number.
Terry Nutkins was on with on Animal Magic.
That's it.
Gemini the Seal.
Imagine Nutkins and Johnny Morris doing a fucking Top Flight Time Machine style podcast in the 80s.
Looking back at old animal episodes.
Yeah. Looking back at classic animals from the past. the fucking dodo. What an animal that was, by the way. Extinct now, of course. But it's fucking brilliant. Look at it. Look at the size of the cunt. I tell you what, he deserves respect with a beat like that on him.
Yeah. Amazed he managed to live as long as he did. Being unable to fly and everything. Absolute predator's dream.
You got to fucking hand it to the cunt. But yeah, you cut back from the session. That is why 3:30 was one. I was really into 3:30, and I even had posters of it on my wall. So I would have would have posters of a clock set to 3:30 just all over my wall.
You idolised it, didn't you?
I idolised that particular time of day. And then obviously you grow up, you get older, and when you're a teenager, you're really into like sort of 10 p.m. or something like that. You think that's really cool. You know, but whatever.
Well, I mean, I had my school books. I used to back my school books, you know, they used to make you cover them.
Yeah.
Protect them. I had posters out of Time Weekly of 10 p.m.
Yeah, 10 p.m.
On the school books.
When you got a bit older, when you were like in the fifth year.
Yeah.
10 p.m.
I think I probably drew, when I went to college, I probably drew midnight on the back of me rucksack that I had me college folders in.
I had a denim jacket.
Right in the back of it.
I had a denim jacket with 7 p.m. Thursdays because that was when the best telly kicked off. I think that was Top of the Pops.
Top of the Pops.
I was a big fan of that. And I had that on the back of my denim jacket. And then when I got a bit older in the early 90s and just Tippexed various times that I liked, like 8:30 p.m. onto some DM shoes.
Yeah.
Next to a CND sign.
Bad the bomb and half ears.
Seriously, talking about funny things like that, right? I was talking to a mate once, a few years ago, who'd had his issues with the iron filings in the past and was over it. And we were both sharing stories about that. And he said to me, he went, there was a period in my life, he went, where I've never been into football. I've never had a football team, right? He went, but I was so into coke. He went, that it was almost like that was the thing I was a fan of. That was my lifestyle choice. He said, so, and I went, all right,
on the wall.
And I'm thinking, a bit weird, but fine, going along with it, right? And he's going, like, you know, like, you know, if you're into football, you might be in a toilet and you'd write West Ham on the wall, right? He goes, or like, if you're into a band, you might write The Clash on the wall. He went, me and my mate, we used to go in the bogs, do a line of coke, and then write cocaine on the wall. That's amazing, isn't it? They're just write cocaine. They wouldn't write anything about it like cocaine's great. Yeah. They just write the word cocaine. Like that was what they were fans of.
We've got season tickets of cocaine.
Yeah.
Executive suite.
Yeah, and it was like maybe they did have pictures on the wall just of long lines of cocaine or of Diego Maradona celebrating that goal in the 1994 World Cup right in front of the camera. That actually would be a good poster to have on your wall. I might look into that.
Yeah.
The
5-drug cocktail.
Yeah.
Speaking of drugs, I've ordered 3 pies this morning on the telephone. I've got to collect tomorrow morning.
Lovely.
How about that?
Hello, telepies.
Yeah.
Yeah, hello. I'd like to order 3 pies. Yeah. Certainly, sir. What flavours?
Mince, steak, corned beef.
Would Sir be liking to add on a sweet pie? We can do that as part of our pie deal.
Nah, fuck off.
Fuck your sweet pie. Okay, I only asked.
Sick it. Upsell me shit like that. Fuck off.
I don't fucking need
Come
it.
Come back Christmas.
If I want something sweet, I'll have a bar of chocolate. Okay, that's fine.
I'll melt some chocolate over my regular pies.
So what were the pies that you got anyway?
Corned beef, mince and steak.
Corned beef pie.
For a family party tomorrow.
I've never had a corned beef pie.
Have you not? Well, it's because you're from the south, isn't it?
Yeah, we don't have them. We've never even heard of it. Sounds nice, though.
Greggs do a corned beef pasty.
Right.
Which is fucking delicious, but you can't get them in the Greggs down south.
Fucking hell.
Whenever I pop into a Greggs in London, can't get me corned beef pasty.
They go, we've got an avocado pasty.
Yeah, exactly.
Is that similar? Yeah. No, it's fucking not.
Fucking cunts.
I tell you what I had yesterday. I went for a cream tea. Fucking hell. Yeah. On a whim, mate. This is classic Just Rest lifestyle. I thought to myself, this is the sort of behaviour Andy would approve of, right? Because I'd been quite busy in the morning with a bit of work and it was boiling hot and the kids were fractious because it was very hot. But, you know, some of the days they're not meeting up with their mates much at the moment and stuff. So, you know, it's just like they're bored and they're sitting around, it's hot.
I need to cheer them up. I need to have a cream tea.
Right, fuck this. Let's go for a cream tea, right? Because I'd driven by, there's a famous tea room, very old-fashioned, really fancy traditional tea room, right?
Right.
In Kew, opposite Kew Gardens, right?
Okay.
You'll remember Kew from the greatest exhibition of all time, the Cold War exhibition.
Of course,
it's where the National Archives are. So Kew's a great place. It's got loads of things, right? It's got Kew Gardens. It's got the Maids of Honour Tea Room. And it's got the National Archive, where there is so much data for men like us to research. It's unbelievable, right? So you've got everyone.
I got chased out of the National Archives by a goose.
Did you?
After I'd seen that exhibition. Yeah, I don't know why.
Russian spy goose.
Might have been. Anyway.
Go on, fuck off. You've had your fill of Cold War.
You've seen your stuff, fuck off now.
You've been here fucking ages. You're taking the piss.
I'm trying to fucking shut up here.
Right.
Keys around his fucking leg.
I went to my daughter. My son didn't want to go because he was in such a bad mood. He was sort of more or less like, fuck your green tea. Stick it up your ass. So I said, right, we're going for a fucking cream tea. So I just drove over to this tea room and I thought, they'll never let us in because I hadn't actually been sat down in a cafe, restaurant, pub or anything, obviously, in like nigh on 4 months. But I said they had some fucking tables out in the alley, the bin alley, really. It was just a bin alley. I went, fucking count us in then. Sat down, it's 3 o'clock in the afternoon.
The bins.
What can I get you? I said, what do you think you can fucking get me? A cream tea.
You're a fucking tea room, aren't you?
Bring me a fucking
cream tea.
And they fucking brought it, and I just sat there in the afternoon sun. I even took a photo, which I will post on Instagram. Little pot of tea, delicious. Two fruit scones, jam, clotted cream. As usual, they never provide you with enough clotted cream, which is just your experience in pretty much any tea room anywhere. When I'm in the Isle of Wight, where I'll be going next week, I'll have at least 2 cream teas during the week, right? You can't move the tea rooms around there. And I always just make a habit of it. I just go, cream tea, 2 extra creams. And they look at you, in the Isle of Wight in particular, they look at you like you're fucking, like, who the fuck does this cunt think he is, right?
Who does he think he is?
And they go, I'll ask. And I'm like, what do you mean I fucking ask? They come back and go, you can have the extra cream, but you will be charged for it. And I go, yeah, that's fine. That's the whole point. I don't mind paying for the extra cream. It's a fucking rip-off, because if you're giving scones of this size, you should give enough cream to put more than a fucking scraping on, right?
Yeah.
But I don't mind. I'm a high roller from out of town. Bring me extra cream.
Sure.
I'll pay whatever it takes. In fact, because you've made a big deal out of it, I'll tell you what, cream for every cunt in here. Cream's on me. Everyone, give every cunt in here
one extra pot of cream.
And tell them that fucking flashy cockney in the sheepskin coat over there smoking the cigar.
And the bifocal lead dark glasses.
Yeah. Smoking, and the, weirdly, a golfing polo neck with a gold chain worn over it, right? He's the cunt that's laying it on. There you go, ladies. Bit of extra cream for you. Courtesy.
Enjoy your fucking cream, ladies and gentlemen.
If anyone asks, just send them to say it's courtesy of Nifty. they'll become known as the cream man on the Isle of Wight. Yeah, so, but anyway.
Creamy Delaney.
A random and spontaneous cream tea in the middle of the day. Felt good.
Felt good. I've just ordered some tickets for some concerts.
Oh, yeah.
In the next couple of weeks.
Wow.
Outdoor, socially distanced concerts. They're at Gosforth Park, Newcastle Racing Course. They've assembled this fucking outdoor arena thing. And there's 500 viewing platforms that are all socially distanced.
Right.
So when you go along, apparently, you get led to your viewing platform, which holds up to six people, I think. And you're all, like, you know, 20 feet away from everybody else. And I've got tickets to see the modern young singer Sam Fender. Are you familiar with his work?
No.
No? He's a North East lad. Very good.
Good, is it?
Somehow got tickets to see him because his tickets sell out like fucking hotcakes, but I got some this morning. And also the Bootleg Beatles, Sam.
Oh, I'd love to
I've
see them,
I've never
actually.
Seen the Bootleg Beatles, but I hear very good things about them. Like, I hear they're as near as you'll ever get to the actual Beatles.
Yeah, no, I've heard they're fantastic. I'm trying to remember whether I have actually seen them or not. Maybe I've just seen them on the box. I feel like I've seen them. I feel like I've seen them somewhere. Yeah. I feel that I got angry because... Oh, no, that was it. I had an encounter once with a John Lennon lookalike, right?
an encounter.
In the... around 97, right?
Proceed.
When I had very long hair and sideburns and stuff, right?
Yeah.
And a guy I knew was involved in producing a comedy film for Italy, right? Really weird.
Okay.
And apparently, I can't remember what they're called, but it was a series of films akin to Italy's answer to the Carry On movies, right? There was a series of them. And they were all set in different times and places, but it was always the same cast, right? And this one, part of it was set in London because they'd time travelled to the 60s. And there was a scene that was supposed to be set in a recording studio. It was supposed to be Abbey Road with the Beatles. So the protagonist of this comedy film, I don't know why I'm explaining the plot, but I've always been fascinated by it. I've thought about it a lot because it never made sense and I didn't know what I was involved in.
It's good.
So I've been to Palace West Ham and the guy and a mate of mine who was a Palace fan was this producer, right? And I'd gone for a beer with him afterwards. And he went, fucking hell, I'm trying to cast some extras to be like studio hands in this Abbey Road scene with the Beatles. He went, you well look the part, right? Because I had that sort of get up.
You fucking do it.
And I went, and I was a student. I went, yeah, fucking great. It's like, he said it was like 50 quid cash in hand, like for the day. I was like, yeah, fuck it. So I went up and they were doing it at these studios in North London. And there was they said, right, the Beatles are coming in now, right? And so they all come in, right? John Lennon, McCartney, Harrison and Starr, right? But two things. Number one, I was wearing a almost like a lab technician coat, which I thought didn't make sense. But I didn't want to be a Lampard, but I was being a bit of a Lampard because I was a sucking know-it-all student going, I hardly think that studio hands at Abbey Road or anywhere else were wearing these kind of coats, right, at the time. But whatever, the Italians are, fuck off, you English prick. Just stand there, you're just an extra. You'll get your £50, shut up, right? The Beatles came in, and first of all, what really annoyed me was all four of them were dressed in separate Beatles-era clothing, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, McCartney is dressed in the fucking collarless, like, Nehru collar shirts, right, mm-hmm. from early Beatles with the Beatles, right?
Sort of thing, yeah.
Harrison is dressed in the Sergeant Pepper get-up, right?
This is mental.
Yeah. Starr is, I don't know what fucking Starr's dressed a little bit like more of the mop top, like they're at Shea Stadium, right?
Yeah.
And Lennon is full... Abbey Road 70s denim bell bottoms, really long hair, round glasses,
Afghan
court, right?
Something like that.
Late era Beatles, right? When they're on the fucking roof of the Apple building, right? I'm fucking fuming, right? Yeah. I was a student. It was the '90s. Everyone was banging to the Beatles in particular. I mean, everyone's always banging to the Beatles, but you know, it was very much an era where everyone was influenced by the Beatles, and I was a trumped up little twat who considered myself a fucking expert on the Beatles. And I'm like,
I mean, you'd already kicked off about the lab coat.
I know. And then this I'm like, what the fuck is this? Off. And the Italians are like, what that fucking dickhead going on about that? They're all from different eras. It doesn't make any sense whatsoever. This is our natural heritage you're toying with here, right? I was fucking fuming.
Jalapeño.
If you like what you've been listening to on Top Flight Time Machine, why not consider heading over to patreon.com/Top Flight Time Machine, where you can subscribe. Not only does your monthly subscription help support this podcast and keep it going, it also gives you access to a huge amount of extra exclusive content.
Loads of extra episodes, yeah.
You'll be getting an episode a day. And pretty it much. Costs less than a fiver, less than a pint.
Whether
a
you
month.
Like it or not. Go to tftimemachine.com/ironfilings to find out more and get involved.
There's t-shirts and everything. I mean, for fuck's sake, what more do you want?
Jalapeño.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Jalapeño.
But what made it worse was that John Lennon fucking 100% thought he was John Lennon. Real life.
Whoa.
Thought he was John Lennon. You know how John Lennon often appeared to be chewing on a bit of gum in the side of his mouth when he yeah. spoke? I don't know whether it was gum or whether it was a nervous thing or what. And this guy did that the whole time. He kept his dark glasses on the whole fucking time, right? And when he came over
was
and spoke
English?
To us... Yeah, he was English. They were all English. Right. So the rest of the cast and the crew were Italian. There was a small unit of British production crew who were obviously helping out with the location and the extras. And then there was British extras. The other extras were all fucking basket cases as well, by the way. But that's another story. But this bloke, he came over and deigned to talk to us as if he'd come over like a big star. He wasn't even a star in the movie. He was just an incidental character, right? But as far as he was concerned, this bloke was walking around on this set and through his life as, I am basically John Lennon and I expect to be treated like you would treat John Lennon.
Prick.
Fucking hell, what a prick. I was furious about the whole thing. So all I'm saying is, really... great, see the bootleg Beatles, but just beware Beatles-alikes, because from my experience, they can get out of hand.
Yeah, I'll take care, yeah. I want to see this film now.
You know I know, I'm going to try and find it out. I can't remember anything about it, but I'm going to research it and find it out. Yeah, maybe I appear in it. I never saw in it. I never saw it.
Yeah.
I mean, if I appear in it, it'll be very fleeting in the background behind the glass at this supposed Abbey Road. I think it was actually Dave Stewart's recording studio, which is up in North London in a church or something. Yeah.
Okay. Nice one. You know, we were talking on Tune Machine the other day about what a cunt Morrissey is?
Yeah.
It stuck with me, and then I was listening to Absolute 80s in the car yesterday when I was driving along, and William, It Was Really Nothing came on, and some of the lyrics really stood out, and I just thought, fucking hell, you've always been a cunt, mate.
That's about Billy McKenzie from The Associates, isn't it?
It is, yeah. But he sings, how can you stay with a fat girl who'll say, would you like to marry me, and if you like, you could buy the ring. The fucking fella always buys the fucking ring.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Doesn't he? What's that about?
Oh, well, and also it's really misogynistic. He sings a lot about fat girls, like, oh, that some girls are bigger than others and all the rest of it.
Yeah,
I mean, there's a lot of misogyny. There's a lot of bitterness towards women throughout a lot of his songs, I think.
And then he sings a couple of lines later, I don't dream about anyone except myself.
Yeah,
fucking
twat.
Too right, don't you, cunt?
Yeah. Yeah.
Fucking arsehole.
Fucking cunt. I mean, let's be honest, right? Johnny Marr and the two other lads were great. I think the other two lads are underrated, if anything. People don't talk about them enough because the rhythm section is what elevates those songs beyond normal guitar-y indie music, really, right?
Yeah, definitely.
And, yeah, he was the fucking weak link, wasn't he?
He was the weak link, yeah.
The weak, or, I was also or the weak fan. Cunt.
You are the weakest cunt. Because, I mean, I used to go to college with fucking lads who dressed up as if they were Morrissey. And he gathered them all together, didn't he, that lot, in one of the later videos. I started something I couldn't finish with.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
He had all the lookalikes riding around on bikes. And it was the fucking fellas like that, couldn't trust them.
No,
couldn't trust them. They didn't have
the whole hearing aid and all that, did they?
Oh, yeah. Bunch of flowers in the back pocket and everything.
Fuck me, yeah. Bankers. What Morrissey really needs is a good shoe-in. Although, I've looked at him a few times in more recent years and thought, yeah, he's quite a big unit. Like, when he was in the 80s, he was like way massive, fly. Yeah. But I look at him and I think, do you know what? Morrissey looks quite hard.
Yeah.
Yeah, do you know what I mean?
To find out.
He's beefy. Plus, he's the sort of bloke in a fight who'd stop at nothing. He'd have your eye out. He'd have his. He wouldn't fuck around. He'd be like, well, if I must engage in physical, in ghastly physical violence with you, I assure you, I will be the victor. And you'd be like, what do you fucking say, mate? And suddenly, bang.
I'll do whatever it takes to destroy you.
Suddenly, bang, he's popped your eyeball out of his fucking thumb. Oh, I've had your eyeball out by the foot of the stair. Go to the foot of the stairs. I've had your eyeball out. Have you ever heard? I can't remember who did it, but someone did a Morrissey Bond theme tune. Might have been Adam Butson. Sounds like an Adam Butson type thing to do, but it is funny.
Okay.
You're not having that. That's the sort of thing that annoys you.
I don't know. I probably won't look it up. I mean, there's so much going on culturally at the minute.
There is. Yeah, there's a huge amount.
On our Instagram last night, I posted a picture of something I was watching. It was an old episode of The Sweeney with Morecambe and Wise, guest starring in it. And I watched it because I don't know about this.
Were they playing themselves?
They played themselves, yeah. And they got caught up in some kind of pharmaceutical power play between this chemist fella and some foreigners who wanted to get his tablets off him. And they ended up where the tablets got hidden in Morecambe and Wise's ventriloquist doll. And then Morecambe and Wise engineered an escape in a fish delivery truck. And Eric Morecambe's on the back of this fish lorry throwing fucking boxes of fish at the baddies while they're being chased. It's brilliant. It's still on ITV Hub for about another 12 days. And it's called Hearts and Minds. It's series 4, episode 11. And I'd strongly recommend it because it's a great Sweeney episode anyway.
It's amazing, isn't it?
All Sweeney episodes are.
Doesn't feel like the sort of thing that Sweeney would usually go in for.
It was definitely a bit of a sideways move. Mm. It was quite surreal, really, because it wasn't the sort of, you know, standard Sweeney stuff. But apparently it was a thank you for when Dennis Waterman and John Thorpe appeared on Waterman Wise's show in 76. So they said to them, well, do you want to come on the Sweeney then? And Waterman Wise went, all right then.
Yeah, fuck it.
So this episode was written 2 years later. Yeah, power played them. Yeah, we'll fucking come on. What do you think of that? And it's like, great episode.
What did John Thorpe think? Because like, they're kind of a double act doing crossover cultural stuff like that, like going to Morecambe Wise. And then you think, Waterman did the same thing all over again with Minder, which was almost like a comedy version of The Sweeney. And I wonder how John Thorpe sued that. I always thought John Thorpe took himself very seriously. He was like the way Martin Shaw was, John Thorpe, Martin Shaw. The professionals, or the way that, like, Martin Shaw would never talk about the professionals, would he? Because he thought it was below him and he was like a great thespian, right? And John Thor, I think, but I don't know, but I feel like, you know, he wanted to distance himself from the Sweeney.
Well, I think John Thor was a good laugh in real life.
Right, okay.
I think he was a good laugh. I haven't seen any interview clips or anything, but I don't think he was a miserable cunt like Martin Shaw was.
Right.
Or James Bolam, who's the worst of the lot.
Yeah, granddad in my pocket.
That was a bit of light relief from him there. But John Thorpe did Home to Roost, didn't he?
Oh, that's true.
Sitcom.
Yeah, that's true. Know. With that lad, that was funny.
Reese Dinsdale. Yeah.
Hang on a minute. What's the difference between that and Don't Wait Up? Isn't it the same storyline?
Class. Right. Don't Wait Up, they were both doctors.
Yes.
And I can't remember what they were in Home to Roost, but Rhys Dinsdale definitely wasn't of the professional orders. he was a fucking... He was a mess.
So what came first? I think that Don't Wait Up came first, and then someone at IETV said, yeah, we'll do the common version of Don't Wait Up.
The IETV version of it.
Yeah, we'll call it Home to Roost, and they'll be dead common. Be more fun. Mind you, Nigel Havers. I mean, in your mind, you just think... No one's ever been sort of posher than Nigel Havers, have they?
No.
I mean, what if you... Someone missed the trick by not putting Peter Bowles and Nigel Havers together in a series in the 80s.
God, yeah. Yeah. Although I feel as though they did. But I just don't know what it was. I feel as though it did happen. But I don't know. But that Sweeney episode, have a look at it. It's really good. ITV Hub for about another 12 days.
I'll check it out. Did I talk about the plot against America last time? Maybe I did. You should check that out. The plot against America. Did I talk about that?
Yeah. Did you get to the end of that?
Yeah, fucking hell, mate. It really shook me up. It's very chilling. But luckily, right, I've since started watching a programme that... Like, I'm not going to even say what the programme is. I don't want to do any spoilers, right? But all I will say is just briefly, last night, I watched a programme, a drama, in which a man's head exploded. Totally out of the blue, right? You got to understand, this is out of context. This was not an action film. It was not a film where shit like that happens, right? Yeah. You're just watching it, and it's like a high school drama. I was watching it with my daughter, and one of these Netflix kind of high school, made by the same people as Stranger Things, right? And suddenly, out of nowhere, at the school prom, a cunt's head, bang, explodes, and it proper explodes. There's blood everywhere, right? It fucking explodes everywhere, right? And you don't see it coming. I laughed and laughed and laughed and laughed. I said, this program has just gone from a 7 out of 10 to a 10 out of 10. You don't often see that. The show,
was it as good as the episode of The Young Ones where Vivian's head came off because he stuck it out the train window?
I was thinking about that just yesterday because someone sent us a thing about Quentin Blake doing train trauma ads in the 80s, and he drew a series. There was things about train safety for kids, and he drew the illustrations, but they were really terrifying, right? So he's got a picture of one kid being electrocuted really severely, and then in the other one there is a picture, it's really funny, of a kid with his head out the window of a train going into a lamppost and the kid's head just flying off, right? And it's a really funny drawing, but it's really deep and scary. And I saw it and thought, fucking hell, that must have happened a lot back in those days because they featured it in The Young Ones too. And Vivian gets off the train and starts kicking his head around, doesn't he?
He does. I wonder if they nicked it from Quentin Blake then.
And it's weird you should bring it up. It's quite cosmos that you should bring that up. Is it was it a common thing in the 70s and 80s that kids stuck their heads out the window and they flew off?
I don't know, maybe.
Must have been, because if not, it's like, they can't just make these things up out of nowhere. Right. Meeting.
Well.
What do we need to be... thank you for joining the Government Health and Safety Committee meeting. What should we be working on this week? Well, I was on a train the other day, and I was thinking to myself, if a kid stuck his head out, it could come clean off, probably, going at that speed if it hit a fucking lamppost. Yeah, you're right. Let's do a fucking advert about it. We'll get that company who does the Roald Dahl books.
I think they had a budget and they had a remit and they had so many of these films to make each year, but they didn't have enough stuff to make them about. So they brainstorm ideas. No one ever fucking trapped themselves in a fridge on waste ground, but they came up with that because they need it now. They need to churn out some films.
Ideas. We need to make at least 10 more films before the end of the year. What you got? Well, I've got one idea. I don't think it's that good. Just fucking tell us. Just think it, say it. Don't worry. There is no good, there is no bad. Tell us. All right. I've got an idea, and the idea is called Lonely Water, right? I'm listening, right? Well, I was thinking, Lonely Water's quite dangerous, isn't it? I'm sure it is, but what is it? I've never heard of it. Lonely Water's like water that's on its own. There's not many people about, but if you do go near it, you could drown or something like that. Right, how do you see the ad shaping up? I thought I'd have someone like Donald Pleasance doing a dead scary voice, as if... Lonely Water has developed the ability to speak like a human, right? And it's telling you all the different ways it can kill you. Oh, that sounds fucking cracking.
Loving it.
And presumably Donald Pleasance won't come cheap. No, It'll charge you a lot. I've looked into it. Well, that's perfect. That could eat up a quarter of our budget. Lonely water. Get it made. Right, next.
Yeah, I think that's what it was. I've got one flying a kite next to an electricity pylon. It could kill you. No, it fucking can't. Fuck off. Electricity can't fly through kites.
I reckon it
fucking
could.
Fucking hell.
All right, we'll get it made.
We'll do it.
I thought I'd get Dr. Who to do the voice. Great idea. Right, what about this then? Ed's coming off when you're going on a train, right? You go along a train, you stick your head out, bang, you've hit a lamppost or a pylon, your head's off. Right, that's not bad. How do we do it? Well, it's going to be hard to actually recreate because proper, visual effects haven't been created yet. But I was thinking we could get Quentin Blake out of Roald Dahl to draw pictures of it happening. Oh, yeah. Yeah. I like that a lot.
And that's how that happened. I think that's about it. Got anything else you want to mention?
I've been upgraded to Top Dollar this week from Casual Bloke. This was announced to me this morning, but with
it's
a caveat.
Of the cream tea?
No, because he didn't come for the cream tea. I said, right. What's it based on? He said, general things through the week. So he's obviously been pleased. I obviously haven't, as he says, overreacted to things this week.
Yeah,
right?
To things.
And, but he did say, he said, only just. You're just inside Top Dollar. Just. So
that
be careful.
To keep trying.
Yeah, be careful.
Easily slip back.
So that's quite good. So I'm obviously feeling really buoyed by that.
Yeah.
And nothing else to report other than tomorrow I'm painting my daughter's bedroom, which will be
nice.
there'll be plenty of stories to come out of that. I've been at home base and bought all the gear.
I should be overseeing the job while you're doing that. I'll be taking you to it.
Yeah, I've told her that she has to oversee. I even want her to do gloss the skirting. But we'll see whether or not. I mean, when I was her age, I had painted countless fucking rooms, right?
Yeah.
My mate, Ollie, I was on the phone to him and I told it to him. I said, yeah, I'm painting Coco's bedroom at the weekend. And he went, reminds me of when I had to paint your dad's house. I went, what? What? When the fuck did you do that? I mean, this sounds interesting. He went, it was 1992. And I said, why wasn't I there? He goes, because you'd gone inter-railing with a bunch of other lads. He said, see you later, dickhead. I'm off inter-railing. I'm off to
By the way, this house needs painting. Good luck.
I'm off to finger some Spaniards. Yeah. You can stop back here and paint my dad's flat for him. Right. By the way, my dad's insane and will accuse you of nicking a ladder at some point.
Be ready.
But listen, this is what's amazing. And I don't have a big story to tell about this, but I have the seed of something very special because I've totally forgotten about it. I went, I have no recollection of that. He goes, you must do. When you went off inter-railing with a bunch of the other lads, he went, so your brother had been sort of tasked with painting your dad's new place. And he was going to get you to do it, but then you fucked off. So he got me. And I said, so it's you and my brother? He went, yeah. And Pancho. I was like, no fucking way. He went, yeah. And I was like, I fucking remember this now. He goes, yeah, it's one of the weirdest 2 weeks of my life. We were like in there, we painted every room, right? We had Steve Wright in the afternoon on all day and Pancho's fucking behaviour. We went for lunch one day at the pub at the end of the road and Pancho ordered the ploughman's lunch. And your brother, my brother Dom, apparently made, you know, the very terrible joke of like, you got the ploughman's lunch? Fucking hell, the ploughman won't be happy, right? But apparently, this lame dad-level joke lived with Pancho. Pancho's face dropped. He barely touched the lunch, and he kept bringing up this fucking ploughman throughout the week when they were painting.
No.
Yeah, he's really freaked out by the idea of there being an actual ploughman whose lunch he'd stolen.
Oh, Pancho.
Yeah, so anyway, I need to dig more into this episode because I kind of remember it vaguely, but it sounds like it's got a lot of potential because we haven't even got into what my dad was like as a client.
I think you'd do a bit of regressing, and bring us a fuller picture of it after the weekend.
Yeah, I'll do some more digging.
Your own painting work will, you know, bring up some memories.
Spark some memories, yeah.
All right, then that's about it, I think.
Yeah, it is. Oh, congratulations, someone won our Soccer 6. They've alerted. Someone won Soccer 6, and
I forgot that was going on,
His name is Anthony Clark. He won it with 515 points, only just beating Gregory Monk, who, congratulations, Gregory Monk, on a fucking sensational name. Right? Mm. That's a great name, isn't it, Gregory Monk? We've had some other good names, haven't we, amongst the cunters?
It's a good Monk's name, isn't it?
Gregory Monk.
Brother Gregory.
My name, yeah, hello, I'm a monk. What's your name? Monk. Gregory Monk. But unfortunately, Gregory Monk, you lost by 1 point. He got 514 and Anthony Clark got 515. Well done, Anthony Clark. You win absolutely nothing other than this mention.
Yeah, that's it. If you haven't subscribed to the Iron Filing Society yet, we've started doing the Roald Dahl book, The Twits, as a deep dive this week. And we've done possibly the best ever Melchester Odyssey episode as well. So,
and we've got and if you're if you are an IFS and you're enjoying the Melchester at the moment, we have discussed that after we finish the Twits, there's a strong chance we will be digging into the Alf Ramsey book next. So,
yes, seems a shame.
Keep your ears peeled.
That's it. Enjoy your weekends and all that. I'll enjoy my pies tomorrow.
Oh yeah, keep us tell us about the pies on Monday, won't you?
I will. Take the FN, dickheads.
See you, dickheads.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.